Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Blue Spring Enterprises Limited Q2 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nigo Shetty from Blue Spring Enterprises Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Blue Spring Enterprises Q2 FY26 earnings call. At this point, we would like to highlight that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, which are based on our current expectations and are subject to business risks, regulatory changes, and macroeconomic conditions. We do not guarantee these statements or the results, or are obliged to update them at any given point of time. These statements should be read in conjunction with the safe harbor clause outlined in slide number two of our investor presentation. With that, I hand the call over now to our CEO, Mr. Kamal Palta, for his opening remarks. Over to you, Kamal.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. Let me begin by sharing some brief context on Blue Spring's performance in the second quarter. The overall business environment remained positive, supported by steady economic activity. Indian office real estate saw strong momentum with 16.3 million sq ft of net absorption across the top eight cities, a robust 35% year-on-year growth. Delhi NCR and Bangalore led the quarter, contributing 23% and 21% of the total absorption, respectively. Government CapEx stood at 5.8 lakh crore, an impressive 31% increase year-on-year in H1 FY26. Private sector CapEx is also showing signs of revival, with fresh investment proposals nearly doubling to 10.55 trillion rupees across approximately 1,800 projects in quarter two. Additionally, the government's newly notified employment-linked incentive scheme is expected to further encourage formalization of the workforce and industry consolidation, benefiting formal employers like us. Now let's discuss quarter two and H1 performance, excluding our investments in Foundry. Blue Spring recorded quarter two revenue of 837 crore, excluding the investments vertical. This represents an increase of 14% year-on-year and 8% quarter-on-quarter. This revenue growth was driven by new sales additions in facility management, security, and industrial verticals, seasonal improvement in food business as education institutes opened up in quarter two, and improvement in overall operational efficiency across businesses. H1 FY26 revenue stood at 1,614 crore, an increase of 14% year-on-year. This growth was broad-based as all the three business verticals grew by double digit on a year-on-year basis. Our revenue base remained diversified across customers and across sectors, with top 30 customers contributing to only 50% of our revenue. Similarly, eight different sectors each contribute more than 5% of the overall revenue, enabling us to take advantage of multiple growth drivers. Quarter two EBITDA is at 29 crore, an increase of 1% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter. While for H1 26, we recorded an EBITDA of 53 crore, a decline of 5% year-on-year. Flat EBITDA on a year-on-year basis is due to investments in leadership and sales team enhancement. These are strategic investments that will normalize as the business scales up. Indeed, these investments are already yielding results. In H1 FY26, we have already secured 36 new contracts worth 110 crore across facilities, maintenance, food, and industrial verticals, setting us for growth in the coming quarters. Segment update: Facility and Food Services. Facility and Food Services account for 60% of the group's revenue. Our housekeeping business serves over 650 customers across 7,000 plus sites, while the food business serves 180 K meals every day for India's education institutes and hospital chains. This segment had a solid quarter, with quarter two revenue of 514 crores, growing 14% year-on-year and 8% quarter-on-quarter. As discussed, quarter-on-quarter revenue growth was driven by new sales additions and education institutions resuming post-vacations in quarter two, thus increasing food business volume. H1 revenue stood at 990 crores, a growth of 13% year-on-year. New sales have been strong, in H1, with contracts worth 37 crores added only in quarter 2. We saw major tractions in education, government and industrial segments. We have also started making inroads into new segments such as sports, with Blue Spring serving as an exclusive hospitality partner for the World Para Athletics Championship. Within the education segment, we made entry into off-campus student living space, broadening our growth levers. Looking ahead, we are expecting to start a new central kitchen indoor in Whitefield area within this quarter. This will help us expand our footprint in corporate offices and the GCCs in this region. Moving on to telecom and industrials, this vertical accounts for 19% of our group revenue. The industrial sub-vertical is led by legacy brand Hoffenkons with 47 years of experience in operations and maintenance across sectors like ferrous, non-ferrous, power and green industries. The telecom sub-vertical is led by Vedanta, a 17-year-old brand that supports network deployment, assurance and tower infrastructure management for major telecom players. Safety in this vertical remains our foremost priority, and I'm happy to report that our industrials vertical logged over 30,000 health and safety training hours in H1 FY26. The focus on training has resulted in zero fatalities and lost time injuries in quarter 2. This segment had a strong quarter with quarter 2 revenue of 155 crores, growing by 11% year-on-year and 2% quarter-on-quarter. The low growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis is due to lower capital expenditure by telecom majors in quarter 2, which adversely impacted our telecom business. Growth in industrial sub-vertical continues to be impressive at 10% quarter-on-quarter, powered by new sales additions. Business recorded H1 revenue of 307 crores, growing 15% year-on-year. In industrial sub-segment, we are focusing on transitioning from a manpower provider to a strategic operations partner. This focus has reflected in our sales, where we added 6 major contracts of ACV 40 crores in quarter 2 alone, covering operations and maintenance of blast furnaces, operation and maintenance of iron processing units, and smart meter installations, all being core client operations. Our telecom active infra business is market leader in its current space, hence the focus is on diversifying our revenue streams for this business. To achieve this, the business has made initial forays into solar EPC and satellite communication space. We continue to update you on the progress made in subsequent calls. Security business. This vertical accounts for 19% of our revenue. We hold Basara licenses across 24 states, which enables us to provide scalable and compliant security solutions across India. This segment had an excellent quarter, with quarter 2 revenue of 168 crores, growing by 19% year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter. The growth was driven by headcount addition of over 1,300 in quarter 2, a 6% quarter-on-quarter increase. This is the highest ever quarterly headcount addition for the security business, and with over 900 open mandates, we expect to have a similar trend in the coming quarter. Quarter 2 headcount addition was driven by both existing customer increase of 614 and new sales headcount addition of 760 during the quarter. Business clocked H1 revenue of 317 crores, an increase of 13% year-on-year. This is driven by over 3,100 headcount additions in last 4 quarters only. Our investments in new sales have started to pay off, and the new sales team has added 70 new logos in quarter 2. Acceleration of sales and strengthening of our sourcing channels will continue to be a major focus in this business. Moving on to Founded, our AI-powered job search platform continues to make good progress. Revenue grew 4% quarter-on-quarter to 21 crores. Recruiter search and 6-month active users grew by 49% and 8% quarter-on-quarter respectively, demonstrating heavy traction on both sides of the platform. In the first half, our focus was on product upgrade and cost optimization. We rolled out improvements to search engine, introduced a revamped recruiter interface and user experience, and achieved a 25% reduction in overall site latency. These enhancements have been well received by our customers. As we move into the second half of the year, our attention is shifted towards sales acceleration, building on improved product foundation to drive revenue growth and expand our customer base. I will now hand it over to our CFO, Praful Sridhar, for the financial deep dive. Over to you, Praful.
Thank you, Kamal, and a very good morning to all of you present in this call. I will begin by taking you through our consolidated financial performance, excluding Founded, before discussing segment-wise results and other corporate updates. For the quarter ended 30th September 2025, we reported a consolidated revenue of 837 crores, a 14% year-on-year growth and 8% sequentially. Year-on-year growth was broad-based across all our business verticals. We have mobilized close to 37 new contracts during the quarter, contributing to an ACV of 96 crores. 50% of our revenues are contributed by our top three sectors, now being industrial, commercial spaces, and government and public infra. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 29 crores, which is up 1% year-on-year and 22% sequentially. Now, a key reason for muted growth in year-on-year EBITDA was on account of continued investment in leadership and sales in vectors of growth identified. Second, we had a one-time gain in Q2 of last year in estimated credit loss reversals due to good collections, unlike this year's quarter. Sequentially, our margins in EBITDA have improved 41 basis points and moving up our margin journey as guided earlier. EBITDA to PAT conversion stands at 55%. PAT for the quarter closes at 16 crores, up year-on-year 19% and 38% sequentially. Our effective tax rate is in the range of 14 to 16% at a blended level normally. However, tax rates were much lower for the first half of the year due to non-cash tax credit in due creation of deferred tax asset, thereby reducing the reported effective tax rate. Our DSO currently stands at around 105 days compared to our usual levels of approximately 90 days. The increase is largely attributable to delays arising from novation of contracts, which temporarily impacted billing and collection cycles. As a result, our net debt position, excluding founded, stands today at 136 crores. However, with novations behind us, we are confident of reducing the DSO days and bringing the net debt to sub 100 levels by the year end. Moving now to our segmental performance. Our facilities and food services business continue to be our largest segment, contributing just below 2/3 of our total revenues. This segment recorded a growth of 14% year-on-year and 8% sequentially to 514 crores. The growth was driven by 14 new client additions during the quarter with an annual contract value of 37 crores. As reiterated in our previous quarters, our focus remains firmly on profitable growth. We added new clients across education, commercial, BFSI and IT sectors. EBITDA for the segment was down 20% year-on-year for the reasons which were already mentioned earlier. This business is operating at 4% margins currently. With economies of scale kicking in from now on, and we are confident that incremental margins will accelerate margin percentages. Our telecom and industrial segment reported a revenue of 155 crores, growing 11% year-on-year and 2% sequentially. Growth in telecom vertical was muted due to temporary pauses in network rollouts that were already planned, while industrial business continued to expand strongly with new client wins in metals, food processing and power sectors. We have begun repositioning our industrial business towards end-to-end operations and maintenance services. In line with our long-term strategy to move away from traditional manpower supply models and labor arbitrage businesses to O&M activity, end-to-end. EBITDA grew 12% year-on-year and 12% sequentially in this business. Our security services business delivered a robust growth in the quarter, with revenues up by 19% and 13% sequentially to 168 crores. We achieved the highest ever quarterly net headcount addition of around 1,400 man guards. EBITDA improved by 27% year-on-year and 39% sequentially, driven by new contracts at better margins, improved collections leading to lower ECL. Investments in founded revenues for the quarter were 21 crore, up 4% sequentially. Our focus during the quarter was on cost optimization, sales acceleration and product enhancements. I am pleased to report that our quarterly cost base has reduced from 43.5 crores in Q4 of FY25 to a sustainable 33 crores by end of quarter 2. Following targeted efficiencies measures across people, IT infrastructure, cloud and office costs. To conclude, the organization has undergone a significant transformation over the past 2 quarters. We have made substantial investments in strategic hiring, IT infrastructure, including SAP public cloud implementations and payroll integrations, which will lead to cost discipline and better reporting. These initiatives are laying a strong foundation for enhanced transparency, data-driven decision-making, organizational agility, and sustainable long-term growth. Thank you again, and now I'll open the floor for any question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Zaki Nasser. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, congratulations on a good growth in the top line. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, yeah. Please go ahead, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah. Would you throw some light on the increased debt?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Zaki, for that. So as of now, our DSO levels, as reiterated, is around 105 days. And normally, this business will be operating at a sub 85 to 90 days rate. Now, we have an increase in number of days of DSOs because of our novations of contract that got delayed because of the demerger in the last 6 months. Now that that behind us, we are confident of a faster collection cycles and bring the DSO days lower. As we speak, at our organization level, our net debt position is 174 crores. Without founded, it is at 136 crores. We are confident to bring this 136 crores to sub 100 levels by the year end.
Sure. And sir, going ahead, what is your view on making founded loss? I mean, without a loss and stuff like that. I mean, how is the hit compounded and how is it panning out? Because I guess you were looking at by the third or the fourth quarter trying to reduce the losses further in compounded.
Yeah. So thanks for that question, Mr. Zaki. Basically, we started the year with 3-4 key agendas with compounded. I think, first and foremost was obviously product stability, enhancing the UI UX of the product, which, we are very happy and pleased to share that we've been able to achieve, and there have been some very good client feedback, recruiter feedback on the product. The second one was obviously on the cost optimization. If you recollect, we were hovering around 45 crores a quarter on a cost base till Q4 of last year. Again, this something as manager, we've been able to right-size the cost for the present scale of operations and bring it down to almost 30 to 33 crores of cost. So there's been a significant cost reduction that we've done. Third is, putting together a strong leadership team, and we've had a new CTO and a CEO joining us very recently over the last 30-35 days in this business. And yeah, of course, last one and the most important one is the sales acceleration, which is a topmost priority for Founded. So we are very hopeful that Q3 and Q4 performance would be much better than what we've seen, because also the previous two quarters was spent in getting the product right. Now on the back of a solid and stable product, we are hopeful for a good sales revival in the upcoming two quarters.
Thank you. And sir, would you say the same for the core business of Bluesprint, sir?
See, the food business has been a very solid.
Your core business, food with telecom and everything. I mean, the bright side of business. Would you say like founded? You feel it will be better in the last two quarters. Would that be the same for the core businesses?
See, for all the other businesses, we've had actually a very solid start. If you see quarter two numbers, all the three businesses, facility and food, has grown 14% year on year, 514 crores of revenue with stable margins at 4%. Telecom and industrials has grown 11% to 155 crores of revenue, and the margins have moved up from 7.6% to 8.3%. Security also has had a phenomenal quarter. We've added 2000 plus security guards within the quarter itself. The quarterly performance of 168 crores of revenue year-on-year 19% growth plus the margins moving up from 2.4% to 3%. Now, this has happened on back of, some very important strategic steps that we've taken, right from the leadership changes to process improvement to digitization. Very happy to share the attendance for the 90,000 plus people that we manage is all digitalized right now. So we've taken all the right steps to improve our margins, and we believe that we'll be able to continue this trajectory. On a full year H1 basis, we've clocked almost 250 crores plus of new sales across these businesses from an ECD standpoint. We're very confident to repeat this performance in the second half of the full year, to have, similar growth trajectory in the second half as well for our core businesses.
Thank you, sir. And if I may just ask another question, sir, I'll come back to the question. What about any, would you like to throw some light on your telecom business, because that seems to be a unique and interesting business in your bouquet, sir?
Sure. So the telecom business, last part of the business, we work with all the four telecom players where we help them do right from network assessment, network assurance, and the network rollout. Most recently, the 4G, 5G rollout that the entire country experienced, we were the largest player in that space who worked with all the telecom players. Telecom, as you know, and we've been in this business for almost 20 plus years, and hence have seen many cycles of this business. Right now, last 3 years, this business has seen 30% plus CAGR growth on a revenue side on the back of large rollout that the country was experiencing. We believe that, at least two large players have done significant rollout and the other two are catching up, which obviously gives us good visibility of the growth for next 2-3 years. But we're also knowing that this business goes through a bit of a cycle, after, let's say, the whole 5G rollout is completed over the next couple of years and the 6G comes in, we're also working on both geographical diversification for this business and also, as I mentioned in my speech of, business diversification moving towards solar on the telecom towers. So those are some of the opportunities that we are working in very early stages right now.
Thank you, sir. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Kaustubh Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'd like to really question this margin guidance which you had initially given of it, slowly moving up towards 4-5% EBITDA. And please help me understand this, because you have your food and facility management business, you have your industrial business, and they are lower margin than your telecom business. If I'm not mistaken, right? Your telecom business is high single digits. So, and you're seeing also cyclical, and right now we've in a good growth period, so that obviously aids the margins. So what about a scenario, right? If I play devil's advocate, what about a scenario where your telecom business starts slowing down and your other core businesses also can't keep up with their current margins because of heightening competitive intensity? So then we're looking at a scenario where really your margins are actually in a declining trajectory versus your guidance of improving to 4-5%. So if we go by that thought, could you just explain how you're thinking about it if this plays out?
Sure, Kaustubh, thank you for that question. So see, the overall long-term margin guidance that we had given during our listing was that over the course of next 4 years, by 2030, we want to reach to 6%. I'm very happy that we have started well in that trajectory. We started our first quarter with 3.1 and now we are at 3.5. As you can see, it's not only on the back of margins enhancements in the telecom vertical. As we mentioned in our call, our telecom vertical had a soft quarter two. But despite that, the margin for telecom and industrial went up from 7.6 to 8.3, which is also something that we had mentioned in our overall foundation principles, that two of our businesses, which is industrial business and food business, we want to, grow faster than the others, and that also plays on the mix and, the overall margins. Food, for example, is a better margin business, almost at par with or slightly below than the telecom business. And, we have a dedicated healthcare and education practice within food. We work with almost 100 plus hospitals now on the food and the FM side. And also education has been a very focused area. We've recently looked at sports as a new vertical for us. And, you know, within the second quarter of listing, we were able to do a very solid event. You know, we were the exclusive hospitality partner for World Para Olympics, where we were working as an exclusive partner for facility, food and security. So we are looking at what are the next vectors of growth. Telecom, like I said, you know, we are not seeing any softening on an immediate basis, but knowing that this industry does have its own cycles when one technology becomes obsolete and the new one comes in, and, you know, the diversification of telecom, both geographic as well as into other verticals, is also to ensure that we are able to maintain the margin trajectory that has guided the market.
Okay, and on founders, could you say, what was the, like, when you were finding a new CEO, what was the requirements? I mean, how was senior management looking at what type of a CEO was fit in the turnaround strategy versus who has been hired?
Yeah, so, you know, this was obviously hired with, you know, a professional agency who were good at hiring at CXO levels, with full oversight with the board and, you know, the minority investors. The requirement was clear. We're looking for somebody who has handled tech, somebody who comes with a very seasoned experience on the tech side as well as on the sales efficiency, and somebody who has worked on turnaround. And that's how we went about it. Very happy that, you know, somebody was already on board very recently, 5 days back. So, you know, over the course of next quarterly calls, we'll try to get the founder leadership team also on the call to take these questions.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We'll wait for a moment while the questions assemble. Our next question comes from the line of Diya Jain from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand your outlook for FY27 or 28, because you've given for FY30. So if you can provide any revenue growth you look for in margin guidance for FY27.
Thanks, Diya, for this question. You know, I can obviously emphasize on the short-term steps that we have taken, which obviously take us to the long-term guidance of, you know, 3x of GDP growth rate is the guidance that we had put forward for us. We'd also mentioned that we will try to reach that number both organically as well as inorganically. If you can see in the near term, given the external environment, we believe we've done reasonably well. The quarter two has seen a 14% year-on-year growth. And we believe that we'll be able to maintain this number on a full year basis, at least for this year. This is only our first year of significant investments in sales leadership, and I'm very confident that we'll be able to do numbers better than what we are doing in the current year over the course of next 2 years. And the reason why I say that is also look at the whole sales pipeline that the team has been able to develop. The conversion ratios have significantly improved, and you know, we are also mindful of growing with discipline. So if you see, the margin trajectory is also going up. So we've had some internal thresholds beyond which we don't want to go after every business. I would say we are, like I said, you know, only second quarter of our listing. All the steps needed to go through the 2030 guidance have already been initiated and investments being made. We are on our course. So I may not be able to give you very specific numbers of FY27-28, but like I said, you know, we've grown 14% in the current quarter. I think we should be able to do better than this, you know, in FY27 and FY28.
All right, sir. And any other investments planned?
Not as of now. You know, as and when any opportunities materializes, we'll definitely come back to the market and inform.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Our next question comes from the line of Varun Pinto from Megan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So, sir, my first question is, I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of the call. Could you elaborate a little bit on why our margins are falling and the food business? where, you know, we've seen a 20% drop in EBITDA.
Yeah. So thank you, Varun, for this question. As I actually told in my speech, there are two reasons why this has happened. One is we have done investment in our leadership and sales team in all our verticals, because FM and food being almost 2/3 of our revenue business, the investments there have been little higher, one. Second, in the same quarter of last year, we had a benefit coming from an estimated credit loss, reversal loss due to a good collection quarter. So that was a one-time benefit that we got in the last quarter. So if you exclude these two, we are at par. As we speak,
it was in Q2 FY25, sir.
Yes. As we speak, we are currently operating at 4% blended margin trajectory, and volumes will only actually take the margins up, because the conversion from gross margin to EBITDA will be much higher going forward.
So, sir, excluding that one-time credit loss reversal, what would be our EBITDA growth this year?
Our EBITDA overall growth for the entire year has been around 22% sequentially and 1% year-on-year. If you exclude that, we will have almost 5% growth year-on-year.
In the food business, right?
Yes.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, in your press release, you have also talked about pivoting the business in the telecom and industrial services segment. So could you give some more color on that?
Sorry, can you come back on the question in telecom and industry? What's your question?
Sir, press release, you have said that you are pivoting the business model.
Yeah. So in the industrial business services, we operate under a brand called Hopin Construct, 47-year-old brand, works with all the large manufacturing companies across the country. You know, as part of this demerger, we wanted to have a strategy where we take end-to-end operations and outcome-based contracts, which is only being a manpower service provider in Hopin Comms. So that's the pivot we are talking here, where obviously, you know, the partnership is very different than what we are doing, and obviously risk and rewards of the business are very different.
Right, sir. But, and, sir, lastly on Founded, sir, are we still on track to break even by the end of this year?
So Varun, we've taken, as I explained during the call, we've taken a lot of steps, you know, on the product side, on the cost side, also on the sales and the senior leadership side. You know, we would believe that the new team will be able to help us drive this growth, and hopefully quarter four should be a much better quarter than how we have closed quarter two.
Right, sir. But again, you are not expecting break even to happen in this year, right?
We believe the exit should be very near to the break-even numbers, Varun, but we'll have to obviously go through next two quarters to continue to support that team and take all the right steps. We believe we should be very near to that number.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We'll wait for a moment while the questions assemble. Our next question comes from the line of Gaurav Gupta from Capital Farming Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for an opportunity. I hope I am audible.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, looking at your presentation in cash flow statement, it seems that in the first half of this financial year, a large amount has been taken as debt, right? So that means, from an operational point of view, not much cash flow has been generated from operating activities, right? So considering that fact and the growth optimism that we have, how we are looking to fund the growth going forward? Is it debt oriented or how is it?
Yeah, Gaurav, thanks for this question. Kamal this time, I'll start and then I'll ask Praful to take it over. You're absolutely right. You see the cash flow or cash generated from operations is a negative 97 crores. Praful did mention in his speech that the first half of the year, the performance on the cash flow has not been as per the plan. We were, as part of the demerger, we had to go through all our 1,000+ clients had to be novated to Bluespring from Quest. And these novations have taken a significant amount of time, which has obviously stalled our billing process and has impacted our collection process, which has led to this negative operations. He also mentioned that because of this, our DSO days have gone in excess of 90 days to now close to around 105 days. And, you know, that has been a focus area now that the novations are behind us. October has been, you know, a significantly better month, you know, vis-a-vis collections of the businesses. And we are confident that we'll be able to bring this debt down to sub 100 levels as explained during the call. From a working capital standpoint, we are very well funded. The banking limits of the company are already in place for us to time this growth optimism, as you mentioned. So the banking limits are very much in place for us to go after the growth that we want to.
So related question on this, so by end of this year, financial year FY26, do we envisage that from a cash flow point of view, do we still be in the negative, like operating cash flow from all the activities, business activities that we are doing, that will be still negative, or we do think that it will be somewhere positive?
So Gaurav, Patul here, thanks for the question. So if you see our balance sheet, our receivables have actually grown up in excess of 25%, while the revenue has grown by only 14%. The gap tells the story about the faster cycle collections have not happened during the first half of the year. So this is what we are going to do in H2 as a priority area, that whatever is actually logged in the market due to our innovation activity, we will actually get these collections and retire at debt levels. As we speak, our debt levels, our guidance was actually 1.5 times of our EBITDA. We are well within the manageable limits of debt. So we are operating at...
Prakul, sorry, I'm interrupting, but my simple question was, by end of this financial year, which is ongoing, that is looking up,
right?
Do we envisage that whatever pileup has been there in terms of receivables, that is expected to clear off?
Yes. So that's what I was coming to. So I was just building up to that. So as I said, whatever this 100 odd crores that we have not yet collected, that is where the focus area is, and we are confident that our OCF position will at least break even by the next half. At a full year basis because of faster collections, including growth. So we will have to fund for the growth as well, and we will also have to collect the backlog. And hence, our estimate is close to around 20-30% OCF is what we guided earlier to the market. But at a long term, we have guided around 50% of our operating EBITDA will be converted into cash. So we are confident of at least meeting 20-30% of operating cash this year, given that our growth also has to be funded.
Right. So my second question is on the objectives that we have stated when we got listed, right? And which is, I think, as a good thing, we are reiterating again and again by our quarterly presentation to the investor community, right? I think we have stated a number on return on equity that is, I think, 20% and increase in net worth year-on-year basis, I think, 15% that we are envisaging by 2030, right? So while we will travel the path towards 2030, do we have any number in mind which you would like to share with shareholders and analysts, like, or on year-on-year basis, how the trajectory will be, like by 26, what we can expect in terms of ROE, then 27, 28, 29 onwards, and same on the increase in net worth, and any guidance on that, basically?
Yeah, so Gaurav, last year, excluding our investments in Foundit, our ROE was at sub 10%, almost 6-7%. As we speak, in the last two quarters, we have already clocked in PAT, and this will continue. Considering that our conversion is almost 55% from EBITDA, it will slightly lower because we had a one-time gain in terms of our deferred tax. So in terms of ROE, definitely we should be targeting in the next couple of years a double-digit margin. Our mid-level, we have always guided that by 2030 we have to be a 20% ROE company. But if you see any company who has done 14-15% is actually doing I mean, a decent job, and that is where we will probably reach in the next 3 years.
So my last question is, I don't think what is our weighted average cost of capital?
So
weighted average cost of debt.
Yeah, debt. So thanks for that. So we started off with almost 8%, but we had our basis points coming down. As we speak, our blended cost is around 7.35%. But obviously this will change because of, we also have OD facilities also being used in some of the short-term basis. So at an average level, we are currently operating at 7.8%.
So technically we are saying that last financial year, like you mentioned, that weighted average cost of debt was somewhere around 8%. So return for the debt holders, that is bank, you made money for them rather than making money for the shareholders. So assuming that 1 year, 2 years down the line, shareholder will start getting relatively better money as compared to the lender to the company. Is that the correct understanding?
Gaurav, last year we had obviously no debt. I mean, at a net debt. I mean, we started this company at a net debt position. If you recap this 4 years back when we were erstwhile Quest, our debt level was peaking at 1,100 crores. And while we demerged these entities, we were mindful of bringing all these three companies at least at a net cash position. And we are mindful of taking debt from the bankers and also retiring debt. And the trajectory in the last 4 years has been telling this.
Thanks. I will come back in a few.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Kausa Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one more question. How different is your food business from players like Apollo, Sanduri Hospitals, etc.? I mean, how different is it just to understand?
So, Kausa, thanks for that question. The food business works across different categories. Hospitals is one category for us. We obviously do beyond hospitals. We are pretty big in healthcare. We work with some very large universities across the country, universities to the scale and size of, you know, 20,000, 30,000 students, hostels that we serve food through cafeterias. We also work with a central kitchen model both in Bangalore and in a couple of cities down south, including Chennai, where we serve meals to a lot of large corporates through the central kitchen. And obviously the recent one that we've just triggered, which is around sports and leisure, where we were the hospitality partner. So we did media and VVIP lounges for the World Paralympics. So, you know, the business is well scattered across different verticals. Hospitals obviously is one large vertical within food, but so is healthcare, central kitchens, industrial catering. Through our last year advent into acquiring a small food company called Archer, we have now almost 60 crores of revenue coming only from the industrial food, where we work with a lot of large manufacturing companies and take over their kitchen. So it's a very widespread operation for us.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Varun Pinto from Legend Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just want to just reconfirm that, you know, at the time of demerger, we had given a guidance that we expect food and industrial to grow at about 20% for, you know, the next 1 or 2 years, and the security business to grow at about 15%. So is that still the guidance that we are sticking?
The guidance that we had given was a long-term guidance that we would want these two verticals to grow better and higher than other businesses. Also because, A, you know, these businesses are high-margin businesses as compared to our businesses with lower working capital cycles, and obviously with very tenured leadership that we have in these businesses. So our overall guidance still remains the same, that we want to grow 3x of the GDP growth over the course of next 3 to 4 years. This will be a combination of organic growth that we are doing and pretty much evident from our results for the current quarter. And we'll also be open to look at some strategic value-based acquisitions you know, for us to grow and reach to the numbers that we've guided the streets.
Yes, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Gaurav Gupta from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving an opportunity for follow-up question. So just a follow-up on the last commentary that Mr. Huda just made. In terms of organic growth that we are envisaging, right? So in which particular line of expertise of our businesses we are more eager to have such inorganic growth, and what would be the kind of parameters like EV to EBITDA or targeted turnover, right, or targeted profitability? So that will be kind of candidate that we will be looking for inorganic growth.
Sure, Gaurav. Thanks for that question. So we were actually stated in our foundation principles during listing that we want to hyperscale food business and also the industrial maintenance business. So far we would want to, you know, prioritize capital allocation for growth for these two businesses. So hence, you know, we want to look at M&A in these two businesses. From the criteria we said, obviously we're looking at opportunities where if we invest, it should be to start with EBITDA accretive to our existing businesses. Such investments should come at good opportunistic valuations, as we have done in all our past acquisitions that we did as a combined entity as Quest. So that will be one guiding principle. And in addition to EBITDA accretive, we would want these acquisitions to be ROE and ROCE accretive also for our existing cap table. So those are some of the criteria that we have in mind.
Thanks. Last question before I log off. Recently there was news that we have, supported one of the sports events, and I think in your commentary also you mentioned that. So these kind of events, we participate like one-off, or these are kind of regular where we do participate in RFQs, and what would be the kind of ticket size of these orders that we get, and the kind of EBITDA margin that we do expect when we do participate in this? Thanks.
So Gaurav, obviously due to competitive nature of this industry, I may not want to diverge the exact EBITDA margins from these particular events. And these are not one-off events. As part of our next vectors of growth, we had chosen sports and leisure as one of the areas where we want to expand. And again, this is in line with our overall foundational principle that we want to hyperscale food business. We believe as a country, sporting events is a very, very large business. And, we would want to be a formidable national player to participate on large sporting events. This also was something that we decided within the first 6 months. And, we were also able to get a very, very prestigious contract of being an exclusive hospitality partner for World Para Olympics. We had participation of more than 2,000 athletes with 100 plus countries. And, we've had some very, very good feedback though this being our first event. So it is not one-off, it is part of an overall strategy that we want to grow the food business, and we believe that over the course of next 3-4 years, sports and leisure would be a very, very good business line for any large national player, because right now it's a very, very fragmented and regional play. And of course these sporting events or one-off events come at much better margins than our regular business. I would like to, restrict it to that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prasad, for the forthcoming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions for the participant, I would like to now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Before I conclude, I'd like to once again emphasize that we are still a young business, and in many ways, this second quarter represents another important step in building a strong and sustainable foundation for the future. Over the last 2 quarters, we have taken steps in the right direction, accelerating our sales, adopting a more technology-driven operating model, and identifying new avenues for growth across businesses. These actions have started to show results. Our EBITDA margin has improved by 41 basis points, rising from 3.1% in quarter 1 to 3.5% in quarter 2, demonstrating that our strategy of growing with discipline is working. Looking ahead, our focus for the second half of the year will be on sustaining healthy double-digit revenue growth while expanding EBITDA margins further to 4% by end of this year. Thank you for attending this call.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining the call. Have a great day.